Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with veteran Chicago jazz bassist and bandleader Joe Policastro. He opened up about his new 2022 trio CD called Sounds Unheard, 2012 to 2022. This album assembles recordings made by the trio from its earliest iteration to the present day. It's comprised of unused material from the band's previous albums and additional material done for specialty recording projects. In his classic style, he reimagines tunes like The Police's Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic, and so much more. Enjoy this interview.
Hey, Joe Domino, Neon Jazz. What's up, man?
I'm very good. How about you?
I'm good. Dude, I got to tell you, I was telling my wife this when your CD came in the mail. About a month and a half, 2 months ago, I was like, I really, really am wondering what's going on with Joe. I'd love to get new material on the show. And it was like I summoned that to my mailbox.
Oh, that's so awesome.
I love the album. I've been spinning it, driving around but with myself, with her. So thank you for taking a minute out to talk about Sounds Unheard.
Oh, thanks for doing this. This is awesome.
One of the things, that the real Pepsi challenge on here was, I was going through the songs, I was telling her about it, and of course it starts with Goldfinger, but I'm like, I got to skip down to Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic. I got to see how you can pull The Police off. And I was really impressed. It's wonderful, dude. I really liked it.
Thanks so much. No, I don't want to waste any time talking about COVID in the past couple of years and everything, but I mean, you know, we had sort of been just like on this, you know, sort of regular schedule, putting out recordings and had all the, you know, kept kind of regularly touring, and we're sort of building up our network. And, you know, we're had other recordings that we were ready to put out. And in early 2020, we recorded this new record, which is like it's more like the last one, more original material, but a few covers and things. And it was done at this like high end audiophile store that, you know, does this like triple true stereo recording, and it was going to come out on vinyl on their label, and then essentially fell apart, right? You know, and it's spent the past couple of years sort of figuring out like what is the other side of this going to look like, you know, because it's so much rebuilding. And I decided to go ahead and put that album out, but it's going to take over 16 months because of the vinyl backup and the vinyl shortage. And I was like, I don't want to wait that long to put something out. It's just been, and we had some material from that record that wasn't being used, and then like all these leftover tracks that I just didn't fit on records for whatever reason, but they were really strong. And this, I was like, maybe I'll put together just like a little road EP, you know, just something to take with us, because we did decide to go out this fall and tour. And I was putting it together, and I was like, this album works really well. And it was kind of interesting. And I even dug back and, like, you know, had this one demo recording of, like, the original trio before it was even really my trio. But it was the band that put out the very first, like, West Side Story thing. That was the Bally High. And it was just a lot of fun, and I'm really happy it came together, and I decided to do something with it.
So you got a telephone booth on the cover, and it's funny, I just went on a family trip. We went from Kansas City to Colorado to San Diego. And at one point, after we finally made it to San Diego, we just found an old payphone, and we were just looking at it like, wait, is there a phone on there? And we were just marveling at it. My stepdaughter's 16, and they were just kind of looking at it like, wow, that's an actual phone you can put money in. So when I see these old things like this, it's like how those things are just evaporating from our world.
Yeah, and that's a photogram. My wife's family goes back in, like, Door County, like, several generations, and we were just up at this cabin, and we were going to this restaurant that we like, and we were cutting through this field, and there was an area that had grown over with a payphone in it, and it looked like that kind of, like, end-of-the-world apocalypse kind of thing, and I just yep. snapped a photo of it, and I never thought I would do anything with it, and then when I decided to do this thing, I thought, oh, this will be great. I'll use that photograph and tie this in.
So, you know, I know we don't want to belabor on the whole COVID thing, but I guess that's the thing. You know, ultimately, now that we're coming out of it, you know, how did you do, and how relieving is it to be able to have this new material out now that the world's waking up?
Oh, it's, I mean, if, you know, it was just, I think, you know, the biggest struggle was just even making the decision of like, you know, because like I said, there's just so much rebuilding that needs to be done on everything. Just your general career, you know, you don't know, like, so many clubs are gone, so many contacts have changed, you know, people's habits are different. Just make the decision to going forward was one step, and then actually getting it back out there and then seeing that I still think there's going to, you know, we're not out of the woods yet. And I'm not even talking about the virus. I'm just saying in terms of people's habits and their mentalities changing, or, you know, people getting used to whatever this new normal will be. But it feels great to put it out and to just look forward. You know, it's just been, there's been so much negativity from so many aspects. It's nice to put positive energy into something.
So I guess the other side of that is that that's opening up live venues. What have you noticed from the crowds and people that are listening to your music that's different from, say, pre-COVID?
Well, I think the demographic has changed greatly. I mean, there's a certain segment of 50 or 60 plus that's just not come back out. I mean, people that you used to see reliably out of clubs, you don't see them anymore. Now, that's not across the board. That's what I'm saying. It's a segment of it. So I think a lot of the clubs are still trying to find their footing, you know, in terms of like who their crowds are. For us, I mean, we've only done a handful of, you know, local shows. I mean, more than a handful. It's just, I haven't done anything out on the road. I've done one, we did one little festival thing. And those, you know, mainly things are coming back to normal, but there is, like I said, there's just one segment that, you know, if you shave off 5 to 10% in a couple different age brackets in jazz, I mean, it makes a big noticeable difference.
I think the one thing too about things opening up is that people are kind of charging hard. You know, you got this album and things are opening up. What's your next, say, 6 months to a year look like for you getting back at it?
So we're really ramping things up for the fall. We did a couple things here in Chicago this past weekend, just in line with the release. And then in October, we're going to do a week at the Rex in Toronto. And then the following week, starting like the first week of November, we're doing 2 weeks out, kind of like basically making a big loop around the lakes. So, you know, for us, that's like Indiana, you know, Ohio, Western New York. We're doing a few more shows in Ontario as well, and then working our way out. But yeah, it's a good solid 2 weeks out. And then we have some other out-of-town dates in December. And then we've got a nice weekend at the Green Mill here, which is, you know, such an awesome club. So yeah, it's starting around the middle of October, it's real busy.
So let's get to the good business here. Where's the best place for people to pick up the new album, learn about tour dates, anything related to the band? Where can they do that?
The one-stop shop is the website, which is www.thejttrio.com. You can buy the album there. If people are just streaming and stuff, it is available on all platforms. And yeah, all information about the tour dates and all that stuff is all on the website.
Cool. Joe, man, hey, thank you for opening up. Thanks for the new music. I appreciate it. Good luck with everything.
Yeah, good luck to you. Thanks for doing this. And, you know, it's nice to see familiar faces and hear familiar voices on the other side, you know?
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Chicago, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Joe for his time, energy, and a brand new cool album. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. And if you want to kick in a little bit via Patreon or PayPal, go to JoeDomino.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.